So today's daf is daf Samech. Let's go back to Nuntes Amun Aleph. Nuntes Amun Beis. I mean, we were talking about a brisa yesterday. Let's review it. The Gemara, seven lines up from the bottom of Nuntes Amun Beis, says Tana Rabbanan. Anusas Atma Mefutas Atma. We were talking about at the end of yesterday's daf that the person's anus, who he himself was anus, or Mefuta, Lo Yisa. He's not allowed to marry her. That was the halacha. He's talking about a Kohen, I think we were discussing, right? A Kohen not allowed to marry her. Yeah. But V'im Nasa, but if he does marry her, Nasa, the marriage is good, B'di'evet. But if it's Anusas Chavero, Mefutas Chavero, Lo Yisa, if it's someone else's Anusa or someone else's Mefuta, then the Kohen is not allowed to marry her. V'im Nasa, but let's say he does marry her anyways, the halacha is that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Havlad Chalal, the children would be Chalalim. No, if they were to marry her, this Anusas Chavero, the children would be kosher.
What is
Chala? Chala is a apostle Kohen. It's a child of a Kohen who came from an inappropriate marriage. So the children are not Kohanim, they're called Chalalim. They can't Duchen, they can't get an Aliyah, all these things.
He's not a Mamzer.
He's similar to a Mamzer, actually. He's Yisrael. Mamzer is also Yisrael. He does mitzvahs, everything. His question is who he can marry. I think a similar din to a mamzer, not quite the same. I think he's allowed to marry a bas Yisrael, but can't marry a mamzer. Maybe it's a regular Yisrael.
I think it's right. it's a common puzzle, I think.
But not a mamzer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So the Gemara says in the bottom now, in the two dots, im nasa nasu. So if the kohen marries anusis atmo, the woman who he was ma'anes, the marriage is effective b'di'evit. So says the Gemara, amar rav huna amar rav, umotzi beget. And he has to divorce her, he has to give her get. He's not allowed to remain married to her. The Gemara says, Ve'ela, but Hadakasani, that which the Mishnah says, Im Nasa Nasi, sounds like if he gets married, he could remain married to her. So Im Nasa Nasi sounds like he could stay that way. So why is Rav saying you require a get? So Gemara clarifies, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lomar, to tell us, She'ein Mishalim Kenas B'mefuta. He's not allowed to get married. He's not allowed to stay married. So it doesn't mean if he got married, it's a good marriage. Who cares if it's a good marriage? He has to get divorced here anyways. He's patur from paying kenas. What does that mean? So look at the top Rashi on Samech Amud Aleph. Rashi says, Shein meshalim kenas b'mefuta. Shim mefuta hi ahani le nisun l'miftere b'kenasa. Normally the halach is, if he was mefata her, so then the marriage works to exempt him from paying a penalty. Why? Shemefata ain meshalim knas elik shein konsa. So a person's mefata woman, he has to stay married to her, but if he refuses to marry her, he has to pay a knas. Dichsiv im ma'in yimain. If he refuses to marry her, he has to pay a knas. Aval im mahor im harenulo, the Isha the Gemara continues, Rashi continues with the pasuk. If he marries her, mohar is lashon ksuba. Actually, this week's parsha we have lashon mohar in the psukim. If he marries her, ain lo yutain klum. He doesn't pay anything. So in this case, if he marries the mefuta, even though we say the kohen's not allowed to marry her and would have to pay the knas, if he marries her, he's parted from the knas, but then we make her divorce her anyways. Rashi just continues and says, Aval ones nosim miyab. When it comes to someone who the kohen was ma'anes, he has to pay the knas right away. Afilu hu konto, even if he does marry her, dichsiv anasna isha shurche bima v'lo siya li'isha. You always require a knas, even by a case of ones, even though you marry her. So that's what it means. It's im nasa nasa. It's a good marriage in that he doesn't have to pay the money, but then we make him the very next day to give her a get. So then the Gemara says, top line of Samech Amun Aleph, Ozel Rav Gave mi Beit Kasel. Rav Gvia, I think Rav Gvia was his name. He came from a place. Amr l'shmaisa kami dirvashi. He said this over to Rashi, what he just heard, that Rav required a get, and the marriage is good only with respect to the being pater from Kenas. So Amr le Ravashi responds back to Rav Gvia, V'ha Rav, Rav Yochanan damr tavayu. But don't we know that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, both of them say, Bogeres umukas eitz loisa vim nasa nasa. But Bogeres and umukas eitz, a kohen is not allowed to marry, is not allowed to marry such a woman, but im nasa nasa, and if he gets married, the marriage stays the same. Because eitz is a woman who was removed the basulim on her own. Not through bia, but through mukas eitz, through an eitz, as the lashon the pasuk uses, she doesn't have basulim. We spoke about it yesterday, daf, about being a bula, not a bula. So the Gemara says that if the kohen gadol ends up marrying her, it's a good marriage. Why? Why is it a good marriage by mukas eitz and bogeres? So the Gemara explains, alma sofa lios bogeres tachtav, Because at the end of the day, so even though he marries her when she's a katana, he's supposed to marry a katana, the Kohen Gadol. In the end, in a few years from now, she's going to be a bogeris. So, okay, so if he, if even though, since in the future she'll be a bogeris anyways, so even right now, if she's a bogeris, it would be a good marriage, b'dieved.
And there is no possibility of paying a knas. There is no knas in this, so it cannot be talking about a knas.
There's no knas.
In Mukatetz and in Geret.
There's no knas here, but right. We're seeing.
So he must be talking that he stays.
He stay. I see. Must be talking. So right, im nasa nasa means here they stay married forever.
Right.
Uh-huh. So why the svar is because alma sofalios bogeres tachtav. In the end of the day, even though right now when the Kohen Gadol is supposed to marry her, she might be a katana. Eventually, she'll be a bogeres. So even though right now he's marrying a Bulgaris right now, it's going to be effective nisun. And so too, a mukas eitz, tachtav, right, so for Leos, mukas eitz, tachtav, so too, even though since right now the woman, she's a mukas eitz right now, she has no basulim right now, and he's not supposed to marry her, if he does marry her, it's a good marriage, because anyways, no matter who he marries, she's ultimately going to be a mukas eitz, she's ultimately not going to have basulim in the end of the day, so b'dieved, it's good, and they stay married forever. So says the Gemara, Hachanami, here too also, we should say, im nasa nasa, she should stay married forever. Why? Because sofa lios b'ula. Tachtav, eventually, she's going to be a b'ula while being married to the Kohen Gadol. So right now, let it also be a good marriage forever. Kasha. That's the Gemara ends off with the Kasha. No real good answer for that.
So, 1 second. So what we're saying is basically that it seems that the reason it says that she gets married is that she really gets married.
It, right. Based on other texts, when the Lashon im nasa nasa is applied, it means staying married forever.
Right.
So we just brought a proof from elsewhere. So here too also, it should be that they stay married forever. How could Rav come along and say we require the Kohen Gadol to give her a get?
Right, so the kasha is on the statement of Rav that tesu motziya beget.
Correct, mm-hmm. Right.
That's the only kasha.
Right.
What is bogeret?
It's a woman above the age of 12. When she reaches the age of 12, she starts losing some of the basulim.
Yesterday we learned. yesterday we learned that a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Ketana.
Meaning 12 and below?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because he has to marry a Betula, and the only way you can be 100% sure that somebody is a Betula is when she's a Ketana.
How can you be so sure about that?
No, you can't, but I'm saying that there is a much bigger chance.
Uh-huh.
Because also, some women lose their Betulim just by being older.
So this is Oktana Obogeret, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nara, but I don't know, it doesn't, yeah, right. Nara doesn't
it mentioned it, but we don't really get into too much detail about a Nara. But Bulgaris, as Ricky was saying, when she reaches that age, most likely she's going to start losing some of the basulim just as she gets older.
And there was a machlokas if she has to have 100% of the basulim or if part of the basulim are also okay.
Okay, so now the Gemara in the two dots quotes that Bryce we just started off the daf with. Anusas chavero, mufutas chavero, if someone else is anusa, or somebody else is mufuta, lo yisa, he's not allowed to marry her. If he does marry her, what's the halacha? What's the status of the children? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer havlad chalal, v'chacham omrim havlad kasha.
Meaning
that was the quotation.
If it's a lady that was mufata, different guy, the Kohen is not allowed to marry her.
The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her, exactly.
Exactly.
If he does, what's the status of the children? That's subject to this machlokas, whether he's a chalal or the children are actually kasha. So Gemara explains now, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we pass on like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the children are Chalalim. V'chein Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's how we pass him. Ikadamri. There was another version of this discussion that was Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, my Taima, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What was the Svara of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Why would he want to say that the children are Chalalim? Kasavar la, ki Rabbi Elazar. He was like Rabbi Elazar. So, who's Rabbi Elazar? So this goes back to, you look at Rashi, you see Rashi, Savrala, Kribalazar. It's around the 8 narrow lines down in Rashi. Damar l'kaman, we see later on, Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, tomorrow's Daf, Panoi Haba al Panuya, single man and a single woman, Shelo l'shem Ishus Asa Zona. If there was no Ishus, they just wanted to do it for Zonos, she becomes a Zona. We saw this also in yesterday's Daf. V'kaima le'balav, and there's an Isser Lav involved. U'mechai v'lavin, dekuna have havlad chalav. So he holds that a chalal, a kohen who's with a woman who's asa to, even with a lav alone, that will generate a chalal. So since this case here of mufutas chavero, that was znus that took place there, so she becomes Bataras Zona, this woman. And the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and marries her, so since she's a Zona, according to Rabbi Elazar, since she's a Zona, there's an Isser La for the Kohen Gadol to be with her, and that will produce a Chala. That's a Svara for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He holds like Rabbi Elazar. That again, a Pano and a Panuya, that makes her into a Zona. Now most others, I think we pass, and we'll see in a second, that a Pano and a Panuya will not make her into a Zona. So then the Gemara says, so that's again, that's the Svara of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He holds like Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara explains now, Umisavala Kavase, does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov really hold like Rabbi Elazar? Don't we always hold Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Kav v'noki, this is a cloud we see a few places in Shas, we already saw it once in Yivamos. That anything Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Kav, it's very small, he doesn't speak too much. But whenever he does speak, v'noki, it's pure, we always pass like him. So if we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in light of the Ilu Baha, Amarav Amram, Amarav Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar, we have another statement that we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar. So if we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar, and we always pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, they can't be holding of each other because obviously there's going to be a stira. So Kasha, that's a Kasha to the next Mandamar here, this last Mandamar, that it can't be true that he holds the Svar of Rabbi Elazar, because then there'd be an inconsistency in the Piske Halacha. So comes along Rav Ashi Amar, he explains.
Yeah. This is in general that never they understand when we're saying in Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar.
No, this particular case here, I think.
Meaning that we say that it's a kavnaki, but only in this particular case is one of the exceptions that we don't hold like him.
No, that we always hold like him. The problem is, if we're explaining the svar of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to be like Rabbi Elazar, we don't hold like Rabbi Elazar in this halacha. Later on, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, I think, we don't pass like Rabbi Elazar that a panoy, haba pnuya, create znus, that halacha is not true. If that halacha is not true, then we can't say Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds of that svar. Because we always pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So there must be a different svara of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why he thinks that the children's a chala. It can't be because it's nus, because we don't hold of that din of Rabbi Elazar. So what's the svara? What's machlokas whether such a child is a chalal or a vlad kasher? So it comes along with Ashi, Amar b'yesh chalal michayave asei kamisugli. They're arguing whether in Isra asei, let's say the Kohen Gadol, cannot be with a woman because of an Isra Aseh, not Allah, because of an Isra Aseh, will that produce a Chalal or not? So what's the Machlokas?
So we're not holding, so the Svara of Rav is wrong.
Svara of Rav.
Right, the Tama is because he holds a Rabbi Elazar.
According to Ikadamri. Right. I mean, the first Ikadamri was also Rav, by the way. There are two statements what Rav said.
Okay. But now it's going to Rav Ashi.
Exactly. Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you what the Machlokas is about. Whether or not the child is a Vlad Kasher or a Vlad Chalal. So they're arguing about Rav Ashi Amar, B'yesh Chalal Mechayave Asei Kamiflagi. They're arguing about whether or not, if there's an Isra Asei between the Kohen Gadol and the woman, will that generate a Chalal? So what's the Isra Asei here? So if you look at Rashi, B'yesh Chalal Mechayave Asei. So Rabbi Elazar, Ben Yaakov Lo K'Rabbi Elazar Svirlei. V'lav Zonahi. We're not holding like Rabbi Elazar. We already rejected that. He doesn't hold a Rabbi Elazar. And the reason for the chalal is not because of she's a zona or not a zona. There's no lav here. What's the asay here? We saw in yesterday's daf, the pasuk says that there's a mitzvah asay for Kohen Gadol to marry a besula, v'lo beula, and he's not allowed to marry a beula, one who's already had a beer in the past. So a lav, habab michal asay. The chalal is, when we say an asay, that you have to do this, and we infer from that, well, the opposite cannot be done, we infer that you can't marry a Ba'ula, so then that's, even though it's a lav, it ends up being asay. Because since it's derived from an asay, it's a lav haba, which comes from an asay, itself is viewed as an asay.
Did we say that all this is surim and the kohanim are lavim, or are what did we say that?
Well, we didn't, the Gemara really didn't address it yet. But
before we were learning, right?
We learned that by to marry a grusha or an almana or a zona would be lav.
It's a lav.
That the pasuk is a lav. Well, that the pasuk explicitly says a grusha, almana, and a zona lo yikach or something.
Right.
That was a lav.
That's a lav.
And then it says yikach besula. That's an ase. But we learned from the ase of besula that it's issa to marry beula also.
What say it when he said? Yesh chalal mechavi ase.
Right.
So, because he didn't do an assay. you did lo tase. I don't know if it's not tase.
Right, but lo tase is only when the Torah says, don't do this.
Specifically.
The Torah says, do this, and we say, oh, that means don't do the other thing.
Yeah.
So the other thing that we learn is still considered an aseh, because the Torah never says not to do it. It just says do it. In other words, Kohen Gadol has to marry a basula. That's what it says.
Okay.
So we learn, oh, that means you're not allowed to marry a person who's not a basula.
Yeah.
That's not a law. Even though it's a not do, it's a lo tase, since the Torah never says not to marry Bula, it just says marry Basula, it's considered an asay still. It's a bitul asay. You're violating asay, which is not as bad as violating a lav. It's a lesser level. So the question is, everyone agrees when there's a lav in the Torah, then there's a chalal. But if there's only a violation of asay, that's a machlokas.
But the Mishnah doesn't address it, because the Torah doesn't specify every specific case in the world.
Correct.
So the Mishnah doesn't specify, like, specifically into that specific betulah and kohen. No.
No.
So they can come to judge that. Okay.
Exactly. So the Gemara says, so that's machlokes, and the Gemara continues, explains as follows, that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, savar yesh chalal mechaya ve'asa, he thinks that even though there's only a chiv asa here, that since he's marrying this mufutas achavero, and she's now a be'ula, there still will generate, even though it's only a bitul asay, it still will create a chalal. That's the svar of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But comes along Rabbanan Savri, ein chalal mechayav asay, that no, a chalal can only come from a lav. It cannot come from a chiv asay, and therefore the children are of lad kasher. My time, but what's the svar though? What's the basis of machlokes? We know what they're saying, but why do they say this? My time of the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the pasuk tells us, almanu gusha v'chalal azona. So that's the pasuk. Continue. I'll read the rest of the pasuk. It says lo yikachu, I think, lo yikach. Right? You can't marry an amana. Kohen Gadol can't marry a widow. He can't marry a divorcee, a chalala, a zona. All those he can't marry. Right.
So because of the previous conclusion that pnuya is not zona, therefore it's chayav aseh, because it doesn't say.
Yeah, exactly. The pasuk continues. Let's read that pasuk again. Almano gusha v'chalala zonal es'ela lo yikach. The following the previously mentioned are usher to marry. And then it says, ki im besula me'ama v'yikach isha. Except the besula, that's who the Kohen Gadol has to marry.
So if it's one of, the woman consider not one of the specified titles here,
mm-hmm.
that chavya seh, meaning it doesn't say, don't take pnuya.
Exactly. Let's say it's a bu'ula, but she was never married, so she's not an amana, she's not a grusha, she's not a chalala, and she's not a zona, leaving aside Rablaza, she's not a zona, she's just a panuya pnuya. So she's a bu'ula, but not a basula. So it doesn't say bu'ula's a lav, but you can't marry her because she's not a basula. So that's what they're arguing about, how to categorize this woman. So the Gemara explains, what's the svara here? So my time of the Rablaza ben Yaakov again. Dichsiv almanu grusha v'chalala zona es eila lo yikach, says the pasuk, kim besula. These you can't marry, but you have to marry a besula. Uksiv, then the pasuk says, the very next pasuk says, that v'lo yichalal zaro ba'amav, and if you do, so it's going to create a chalal. So what's this going back on? So according to the pasuk is akulu, it's going back on everything mentioned in the previous pasuk, all of them will create a chalal, whether it's an amana, or a gusha, or a chalal, or a zona, or even a non-besula, that will also create a chalal. That's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But comes along Rabbanan and say, no, Eila hifsika inin. The word Eila interrupts it. It says, Almano gusha v'chala zona lo es Eila, these only, and nothing more, loisa. And kiim besula me'amav, that's already a separate inin. That's already separating the two. And then lo yichala lalu only goes back in the first part of the pasuk, not the second part. It doesn't go back on besula. So, okay, that's clear how to split that up. So then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who thinks all the psukim are mentioned, even basula is included in chalal, Amar Eila, what does he do with the word Eila? Eila is unnecessary. Eila seems to be very exclusive. These only, nothing more. If we're including even a non-basula,
right. So
what they're excluding? So the Gemara says, Lemuta Nida, that a Nida, a Kohen Gadol with a Nida, or a Kohen Gadol and a Nida, will not produce a chalal.
Because it says lo tikach, nida is just a certain situation of a person, meaning a time of the okay.
As opposed to other ones are more status as.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting question. So, but nida, we have such a status. It's not simply, even though it comes and goes, at the moment that she's a nida, she's a chaticha shel iser. That's how we view it, as a chafcha shel iser. And it's no different than, for example, Yom Kippur. Food on Yom Kippur, is it just simply asr to eat the food? The food are inherently mutter. It's a piece of steak. It's mutter. Right. But today it's asr to eat. Or do we say, and some achorim say, the food becomes like chazer. Right. The abject becomes a davar iser, like chazer on Yom Kippur. Here it goes. So the woman, when she's a nida, might be viewed as an object of iser at this current moment. What?
Would like to
have
a piece of
steak. Right now? At 6:30 in the morning. Okay. Okay. Interesting question. Just look at Tosos for a second here. Tosos Dibur Masa Chalal. He has a tzarchi and doesn't have an answer for it. But Chalal b'chayv yaseh. He says Tema. Somewhat of a problem, he writes. Came into Lo Yichalal. Since the second pasuk Lo Yichalal, that's the second pasuk creates Chalalim. Lo Yichalal is a lav now. Kai namia beula. It goes back to on a basula, and also an implied case of a beula. Even a beula will create a chalal. The Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to him, imkain ein zechayv asa greda. It's not only nase anymore. It's also the low.
Because it goes on
the yichal. Right,
the low
yichal. Lavu, exactly. So now it's also a lav. It's not just an ase. It's an ase plus a lav.
Right.
That's his question. He just leaves it as a tzarchin. Lo yichal is the next pasuk.
So once you say that betula is part of what he mentions, then when it says below, the next pasuk when it says below,
and that goes back on.
And there is also a lab which goes back
to everything.
Right.
So that's his question. Okay. Says the Gemara. Kaman Azla. We're halfway down now. Kaman Azla Havdatana. Who authored the following brisa? The brisa says, Me'ela, from the word. Ata osa chala. From these that were mentioned in the psukim, it creates a chala. Viata osa chala minida, but a nida does not create a chala. Who is that? Kiman Kribalaz ben Yaakov, like we just saw. He thinks every case will generate a chala except for the case of nida. So asks the Gemara for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, nichteve leila lav sof, kasha. If Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov thinks that besula is included with the first half of that pasuk, they're all grouped together. Why place the word Eila in the middle, which would give you the false impression of separating into two categories?
Right.
Take the word Eila and put it at the end and not give the false impression. Kasha, the Gemara does have an answer for this.
Too many kashas.
Yeah, it happens. It's true. There were, we saw three today.
I think it's three, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Daf Samech. Yeah. What's the Panimia say? Daf Samech and a lot of kashas.
When you get to be, you get trial.
Right.
A lot of cautious understanding that world is not so simple.
I understand that at my age already.
What? Yes.
At my age, I understand that already. Okay. Marsha Tana Rabbanan. Achos Arusa. The Brisa tells us that Achos Arusa, a person has a sister who's engaged to a man but not yet married. So the halacha is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, rather, Omrim Mitamila. So what's the halacha? We're talking about Mitamila. Different topic now. That the Kohen, a Kohen, is allowed to become Tame to his seven closest relatives. Seven closest relatives are as follows. His parents, two parents, his brother, sister, that's four, son or daughter, and his spouse, those are the seven. The Pasuk in Parsha Emor says the sister has to, I forget exactly the lashon of the Pasuk, it doesn't say on the side, it does. La achosa habesula, it says. Only achosa besula is he permitted to get married, to become Tame too. He has to go to the Beis Kfar, which is a mitzvah. Right, so that's the beginning of Parshas Emor. So only Basula. So what about an Arusa? She's engaged, but she's still Basula. They're not married yet, so she's still Basula, but she's already halfway out the door. There's an obligation for the Kohen to become Metamiter. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Metamilah, he still is Metamiter and goes to the cemetery and helps her get buried. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omer A metamila, he does not metamila. Once she has one foot out the door, she's not considered a achos basula in this regard. If she's married, it's pasha that he doesn't go to the base cars. Only arusa is the question. So Gemara says, what about anusa mufuta? So anusa mufuta, where she's not engaged, but she's not a basula anymore. So the Gemara says, divrei hakol, everyone agrees, a metamila, because it's not a basula. Pasuk says, dafka achosa basula, so you don't. What about Mukas 8? She's not a she's a basula. She removed the basulim on her own, but she never had bia, so she's not a basula in respect to bia, even though there's no basulim.
How do they know even?
I don't know.
mind to change, like it's a regular checkup.
Yeah. But there are ways to check it. The Gemara might actually say in the end, there are ways to check it. There are ways. So Mukas eight a metamila divrei Rabbi Shimon. So Mukas eight Rabbi Shimon holds you're not metamiter because once she's Mukas eight, she's not considered a basula. Why? Shehaya Rabbi Shimon Omer ruri lekohen gadol mitamila shein ruri lekohen gadol ein mitamila. His criteria is who is a kohen hedot mitamitu. He's only mitamitu a woman who has the potential to marry kohen gadol. Since we already learned the halacha that Mukas eight may not marry kohen gadol, the Mishnah told us yesterday's daf, so he's not allowed to mitame to this type of sister. She's not called a basula with regards to these halachas. And what about Bogeres? A Bogeres who just over the age of 12, but she's not a Mukas eight, and she's not she still has basulim. It's just some of the basulim may have been lost from her, but she has most of the basulim, let's say. Mitamila, that we say you're allowed to be mitamiter divrei kol adam. Very interesting lashon divrei kol adam. Divrei kol it probably should be. But divrei kol the side says. I think yourselves. So this is the Braisa. Different cases. There's again a Arusa, there's a Nusa, there's Mukaseit, and there's Bulgaria. So all different scenarios we have with respect to the different halacha of being metame to her. My time of the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. What was the reasoning of Rabbi? I said one point you should note here that initially we grouped together Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, that they both said that you're not metame for an Arusa. And then we quoted regarding Mukaseit, we only quoted Rabbi Shimon, who says you cannot marry Mukas Eitz, but we dropped off Rabbi Yossi. We didn't include Rabbi Yossi in the second part of Rabbi Shimon. That's something important to note. We'll get to it later. So Gemara wants to know now, my time at the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda. What was the reasoning Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda held that Achosa Arusa, one is Metamiter? So Gemara explained, the Pasuk says, the Darshi Hachi, they've made the following drasha in Parshas Emor. Ula Achosa Basula, says the Pasuk, Prat La Nusa Umefuta, to exclude a case of woman who was Anusa Mufuta. So Yachal Shani Motzi Af Mukas Eight. Maybe a woman who's Mukas Eight also should be excluded and a Kohen shouldn't be Metame to her. Tamalomar Asheloha Yisrael Ish. He wasn't with a man. Mi Shahavyasa Aide Ish, Yatzazesh Ain Ayvyasa Aide Ish. Only person who had a Mesulim removed because of another man, as opposed to Mukas Eight, which was not from another man, she is still included in the parsha of the Kohen being Metame to such a sister. And then we hakrova. The pasuk says also how lachosa habzula hakrova love. What does it mean hakrova love? That's close. There, very strange lashon. That's larabos harusa. That's an extra word to come to exclude and to include rather that even a sister who's engaged, you are still metame to her. That was the basis for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And then what does the pasuk mean a love hakrova a love? That comes to teach us larabos habogeris. Even if she's a bogeris and above the age of 12. Since she's on Mukas Eitz, and since she's on Anusa Mufuta, she is still considered Achosa to become Metami to her. Okay, so that's the Svara. That's the whole drasha that Rabbi Yehuda uses to learn that Achosa Arusa, one is Metami to her. Ask Gemara, Halam Likra, why do you need any pasuk at all about to include an Arusa? For Hamar Rabbi Meir, doesn't Rabbi Meir hold, Besula Afil Mixas Besula Mashma. The word Besula means that even a partial Besula, even though she's Bogaris, the word Basula, you don't require all of them. Even mixes Basulim is enough. And since the Pasuk says, Lachosa ha Basula, that means even mixes Basulim. So why do you need a special Joshua to include Arusa? Arusa still has Basulim. So the Gemara says, it's Tzrich, you need a Pasuk. Sakadatech, I mean, I would have thought, Nilaf Basula Basula Mehasam. I would maybe think to make learn a Gezer Shavah, it says Basula by the Kohen being Metame. And it says Basula by the case of Rashi says the last Rashi in the page, Ki Matza Ish Nara Habasula. So just like it says there, Malahala Nara Afka Nami Nara. Just like there, Basula is referring to a Nara as the Pasuk says. Maybe also by Kohen it says Basula, it's referring to a Basula who's a Nara. Kamash Malan Nat. Wait a second, was this going on a different question? This is going back on Bulgaris, I'm sorry. This is going to the question, why do you need a pasuk to include Bulgaris? To include a Bulgaris above the age of 12? That's the question. Why do you need a pasuk to include Bulgaris? Doesn't Rabbi Meir held elsewhere that Basula means even a Bulgaris, even though she doesn't have all the Basulim, as long as she has mixes Basulim, she's called a Basula. So of course the Bulgaris is included.
Right.
He says, no, because you would have thought, Hahavamina, the Xer Shava from the other pasuk, that Basula is in the context of a Nara, Maybe here also by the coin being metame, it means a besula who's only
an
ara.
What is the case of the besula is the case of an ara? What is the?
I think it's talking about a case of onis mefata there.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is onis utfasa or.
But that context of the word basula is used juxtaposed to the word nara. Nara basula. Maybe those go hand in hand.
In this context, we learn, in this pasuk, we learn that only a nara gets is we apply this, what this pasuk says. It's only between tov and tov and a half.
That's what the pasuk says. I don't know how we pass them. There are other drushes. I don't remember. Okay. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara.
According to Rabbi Meir, the reason we have to learn from Eilav that it's Boger, it's because we would have felt that only a Ne'ara would.
Exactly.
That it would. That the case of the Pasuk Eilav would only be. Right. Would only be including Ne'ara, not Boger.
Right. Okay. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Now comes along the Gemara and explains what's the Svara behind Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who held that in Chosa Arusa, a coin would not be metameter. So the Gemara explains, my time, what's the reasoning? Dar Shihachi, they have the following drasha. Ula Chosa HaBesula, says the Pasuk, Prat La Nusa Mufuta. That excludes those two cases. Umukazetz also excludes that Pasuk, that situation. All those three are excluded from the word La Chosa HaBesula, because these women are no longer considered a Besula. Ashelo Hayisa, the Pasuk says also, that was not Hayisa, that Prat La Arusa, that comes to exclude the arusa, that you're not metamet in arusa. Hakrova, that word comes to the rabos arusa, shenishgarsha, an arusa who became divorced. So while she's an arusa, she's halfway out the door, so you're not metamet her. But let's say while she's an arusa, then she gets divorced from her husband, she comes back to be part of the family, then you are allowed to, and you should become metamet to her.
Interesting.
It is interesting, yeah.
Yeah, because you think that...
Once she's out, she's always out.
No, the inyan of betulah makes out make him tame to the kohen. But now she's not betulah, she's divorced, she come back.
No, but she's a betulah. She's an arusa.
No, she's divorced from an arusa, not divorced from a nesun.
She never, never bia. Eris in the first stage, not nesun yet. So never was bia yet. She still is a basula.
Oh, so she's not allowed? She's allowed.
She's an arusa.
And let's say she's nesua and come back, she's not allowed?
Not allowed, right.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
So the different limud is, one second,
she's only out for betulim. She's correct. Only totally out for betulim.
Correct,
exactly. So they basically agree. They also disagree on mukat etz.
Correct. They disagree on the draw. Oh, you're right, you're also mukat etz, correct.
Because he puts mukatetz together with the velachotop tula.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So they don't hold of the limut of Ashelo Hayta Laish.
Right, the second opinion, right.
Okay.
So then they continue to explain. What about the word a love? Last line of the page, a love. The rabbos es habogeres. That comes to include a bogeris that he would be metame to such a sister. Hakrova, what does that pasuk mean? Rabos arusa shenis garshas. We said that above. Okay, the word hakrova really come to include a woman who's engaged and now divorced? That really makes sense. Says the Gemara on the top of Amar Beis. V'ha Amar Rabbi Shimon Rui Lekoin Gadol mitamila shen Rui Lekoin Gadol ein mitamila. We later on in the Bryce we said that Rabbi Shimon only permits him to be metame to such a woman who is fit to marry Kohen Gadol. But since this woman was once engaged and now she's divorced, she's a grusha is not roy to marry Kohen Gadol, so how is he able to say that he's allowed to be metame to her? She's a grusha. Mara says, Shani Hasam, it's different over there, the Rabbi Rachmana Krova. So it's different over there when it comes to Achos Arusa, since it's extra pasuk Akrova, even though normally the standard Rabbi Shimon holds of is has to be a woman or sister who's roy to marry the Kohen Gadol, this is a special exception. The word akrova includes a special case of even though she's not roy, she's included that he's allowed to be metamei to her. But every other case, every other scenario has to be where she is roy to marry the Kohen Gadol. Yihachi, that's the case. So Mukha says Nami.
Right, because she's a crow, and she's not allowed, to marry a Kohen.
Right, so exactly. So why not include her that he's allowed to be Metame her, right, even though she can't marry the Kohen Gadol? So Gemara says, Krova Achas Loshan. The word Krova, his relative, is in the singular, and it comes to include one case, but not two cases. So we have to pick. So for some reason, Gemara is about to ask, but we chose the case of a woman who is a Arusa Shiniskarsha to include as opposed to Mukha Zaitz. So Wiling asks, Marisa, why would you include a Arusa Shiniskarsha and not include a Mukha Zaitz? Because Ha Isavid Be Maisa, Ha Lo Isavid Maisa. Because the case of Mukha Zaitz, there was a Maisa that was done to her. She did it to herself. That was a Maisa. So she's excluded. Comes to Arusa Shiniskarsha, there's no Maisa that was done. So therefore, we'd rather include that case. That's what the Chachamim felt.
So what's Krova Achas V'Loshtay, meaning that they're using the word Krova, not include Mukat Etz, but just to learn that it's one and not two.
Right, the word Krova, since it's written in the singular, we're only allowed to include one scenario, not two scenarios.
One scenario, okay, now I understand. So it must be, right, Krova must be Shenit Arsa V'Nit Garsha.
Exactly, Arusa Shenit Garsha. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Midashavke le Barzugya. So this is what I mentioned before. Initially, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi were grouped together. But then when later on we had presented Rabbi Shimon's opinion alone and we dropped Rabbi Yossi, we left Rabbi Yossi out, must mean Midashavke from the fact that he left the Barzugya, he left his partner, Rabbi Shimon, Michlal implies, Dibimukat Eitz, Rabbi Meir Sfile. He holds like Rabbi Meir regarding Mukat Eitz. Because when we said Mukas Eitz, Rabbi Shimon said Mukas Eitz is possible to a Kohen Gadol. Sorry, Mukas Eitz, a Kohen is not metame to a Mukas Eitz. Why don't we mention Rabbi Yossi? Masi Rabbi Yossi holds over Rabbi Meir with respect to Mukas Eitz. Minale, how does he know this? How does Rabbi Yossi know to include a Mukas Eitz? Milo, Haisal Ish. So
with we learned this for Arusa.
But that comes to include. Right. So the Rashi explains, right? Milo Hayisa, Rashi on the top, three lines down. The Darish Le Rabbi Meir, Mish Hayisa Aideish. Only a woman who's basuma removed from a man is excluded, but Mukas Eitz is included. So the Gemara asks, but Va'afikse, didn't Rabbi Yossi already use this Joshua for something else? To exclude an Arusa?
Right.
So Gemara says, no, chad milo haisa v'chad milish. We're taking the words, that phrase, milo haisa ish, we're splitting up into two. Lo haisa to teach us one thing, that to exclude a arusa, and meish comes to include a mukaset. Okay. Then the word elav, the rabbis habogeris. According to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, the word elav came to include a bogeris, a woman above the age of 12, even though some of the basul may have been left as she got older, she is still included that the Kohen could be metami to her. How could that be true? V'ha amar Rabbi Shimon, basula shlema mashma. Rabbi Shimon holds elsewhere in yesterday's daf, the word basula means a complete basula. Everything has to be intact.
Otherwise she can't marry a
Kohen. Right? So how come the pasuk here says, ha achosa basula ha krova elav, ha basula, she has to be a full-fledged basula, fully intact, and a bogaris does not have its basulum fully intact?
Not necessarily.
Right, okay, but let's assume in most cases. I don't know scientifically, biologically how this happens. But the Gemara is assuming that Bogaris, some of the basulum will be removed as she gets older. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Taima diday nami hasam mehachadarsh." This is the source of Rabbi Shimon that the word basula has to mean everything. Why? Hacha midaela the rabbis of Bogaris mechal the basula shleima mashma. The fact that you need the word elav to include a bogaris tells us if you add the word basula alone, it would not include a bogaris. Basula means everything has to be intact. And that would mean that bogaris is excluded from the halachas of tumas kohanim. That's why the word elav comes to say, you're right, but elav comes to include a bogaris. Even though bogaris is not a typical basula, elav comes to include her. And this is the source, this is the basis of Rabbi Shimon's approach, that the word basula always means all the basulim are intact. And other than this case, a bogaris is usually excluded from the words basula.
So this is actually a raya.
Okay, fine. So then the Gemara quotes a raya, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochanan.
It's not a Torah Shlema. like Rabbi Meir said, which is mutar.
Right, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, that's okay. Rabbi Meir holds Basum does not have to be fully intact. Only Rabbi Shimon holds that way. And Rabbi Shimon holds a mukas eitz is excluded from this halacha. You're right, because that reason, a kohen cannot be become metame to mukas eitz. Okay. Says the Gemara now.
But to add the word ish to the drasha to the ish, that only Betulim through ish is metame.
Right, so Rabbi Shimon made a different drasha. Very good. He made a different drasha. He used that. He thought mukas eitz was included in the first half of the pasuk of Basula. Basula excludes the mukas eitz. What did he do with that? Shelo hayasal al ish. That meant, what did he use for that word?
He divided into haita
right.
And the ish.
Right.
Haita is shelo mishelo nitarsa, and the ish is
lo haita the ish.
Right. So haita is
lo haita.
Right. Mishelo nitarsa.
Uh-huh.
And when he says le'ish, he says, "Gam le'mishi vadayet betulim im lo nasi adavar al yedei ish."
Oh, he asher lo hayisa was excluding an arusa, someone
right.
who was engaged to a man.
Is
right, that's what comes to exclude. Okay, if we still have a lot to do, let's try to finish up this daf here. So the Gemara now quotes a brayse Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. He says the following halacha: Giyores. Normally, we the halacha is that a giores, a person who converts, is not allowed to marry a kohen. Assume she's a bu'ula. But let's say she converted, or she was converted, under the age of 3. Her family converted, and she happened to be 2 years old. So even though normally we assume a giores is a bu'ula, if she's under the age of 3, we don't assume she's a bu'ula, she's kshera. Shenemar, how do we know this? How does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai know this halacha? That under the age of 3... she is Ksheira. Shenemar, the pasuk says, by Milchemes Midian. It says, V'chol ha-taf b'nashim, all the taf, all the infants, the women infants, the girl infants, asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, that had not been with a man. Hechiyu lachem, let them live. You have to kill all the women who had been with a man, you have to kill, but a taf, a infant, under the age of 3, let's say, you're allowed to live. All right, Pinchas imahim. But wasn't Pinchas among the Yidden? So how could you allow them to live? Isn't there a concern? How could you allow Pinchas a Kohen to marry one of these Gioris? So it must be that we're talking about a case of under the age of 3, we don't assume they were with a man.
So we learn from Lachem that it's for marriage and not for just to be Shivchas.
Wow.
Right, exactly, right.
No, because you could say that they didn't have to kill them, but they could have kept them like slaves.
Right. I guess we have to assume that way, right? Did anyone point that out? Let's see. They don't explain it, but that's I guess the underlying assumption.
Okay.
Then Rabban argue on that point and say, no, Rabban say la avadim l'shvachos. No, they come to be avadim. Exactly what you're saying. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai thought, no, lachem in to you to marry. See, Hachi, that's the case. If, according to the Rabbanan, it was simply meant to be slaves, so why only taf? Yachi, bashto shan v'yomechanami. Even above the age of 3, if you're only having them to be slaves, so who cares what age they're at? So he said, k'der avhuna. He holds like, what's avhuna hold? To avhuna, Rami, he added the following stirim psukim. K'siv, one pasuk says, kolash isha, Yudas ish lemishkav zachar, harogu, says the pasuk, any woman who had been with a man, you kill. Ha ein yudas, kaima, anyone who had not been with a man, then you have to stay alive, keep alive. Mechlal, dat taf, bein yadu bein la yadu kaimu. This is only talking about an isha, a woman of age. That implies a taf, or a baby, whether or not she'd been with a man or not with a man, we allow her to stay alive. Okay, that's one pasuk. Ksiv, the other pasuk says, any infant, baby, girl who had not been with a man, you allowed to live. Yadu, and had they been with a man, even though they're a taf, then the halach would be that hargu, you kill them. So the steer is, what do you do with a taf that had been with a man? Do you let live or do you kill? So the Gemara says, have the omer, so he explains as follows. Rav Huna explains the psukim.
So the actual Torah, there's a pasuk. It says, "V'chol ataf banashim asher lo yadu." What is the definition of taf?
I'm not sure the exact. It's babies under the age of three. That's.
I mean, that's. I think is not the limit.
Is it the same three like today, or there was different threes then back then?
Don't try to figure it out.
No, it's well, listen, a basic thing listen, that to understand. It's hard to understand. Like Rivka. Everybody was pedophiles. I don't understand.
But Rivka was three when she said what she that wants mean? To go with Yaakov.
What that mean? With, okay,
I don't know. Different times.
Even though, dude, yeah.
Different. Okay, so there. So what's the? How do you deal with the stirim sukkim? So Havi Omer Birui Libial Hakas Medaber is talking about someone who's Roy Libia. So Avapishal and Nivala says Rashi. So let's see that let's look at Rashi before. Rashi, see Rashi Havi Omer? Rashi writes Havi Omer. Havi Omer Midikashu Kra Hadade, from the fact that these Kra, these Psukim are contradicting each other. Akarchach Yodas Tikra, it must be that the word Yodas in the Pasuk, Vashar Lo Yadu, in that Pasuk, the word Yadu, Lav Yadiyah Mamash Kamar. It doesn't mean Yadiyah. Normally we say Yadiyah in the Psukim refer to Bia. It doesn't mean that here. Dim Kain Lomatar Tzadukya Tikra, we can't forget the Psukim, there's a stira. Ela, what does Yadiyah mean here? Biru'uy Libol Akas Midaber, someone who's fit to have Bia, Midaber, Dechol Isha Ruli Da Harogo, anyone who's able to, who is of age, that Bia gets killed. The Hasha now, Mashma Isha, Afila Taf Bas Gimel Durili Yada, a woman who's even a Taf, who's even 3 years old, who is Roy, the Bia, Velo Teda Kataf Ben Yadiyah Ben Layadu, Hachiu, and don't make a Diak, a Taf who did know or did not know, the Haburila Kamis Shtai Kra. We're talking about Roy, we're not talking about if they actually had Bia, we're talking about if they were Roy to have Bia, El Hechi Lachem, the Kamarachmana, Bifchusa Mebash Losh Kamar. So the way you read the Psukkim is as follows. Any woman, Kol Isha Yodas Isha, any woman who is Roy to be with a man, you kill. That's the age of three, who's Roy. And then the other pasuk says, V'chal Taf Anashim Asher Lo Yadu, any woman who's not Roy, that's under the age of three. And that's how you deal with the psukim. Over the age of three is Ruya, under the age is not Ruya. So that being said, so that's what, that's how we deal with the question above. So we said above, according to Rabbi Shimon, that he said under the age of three is right to be with the Kohen. So he said even above the age of three, he should be kosher, the Gioris, as long as we know there was no Bia. So he ends up saying no, because they get disqualified not whether there was actual Bia, the question whether they were Roy to Bia, and that's how Rabbi Shimon deals with it. So only under the age of three are they not Roy to Bia, and are they kosher to a Kohen. Above the age of three, where they're Roy to Bia, then they would be possible to marry a Kohen. Okay. The Gemara says further now that Tani Nami Hachid, the Brisa that says the same idea. V'chol Isha Yodas Ish, any woman who knows a man, what does that mean? Says the Brisa, B'ruyali Ba'al HaKasim Medaber, someone who's Roy to be with a man, not that they necessarily were with a man. Ato Me B'ruyali Ba'al, you're saying it only means Roy. Oh, Enuela, maybe it really means Nivala Mamish, with the Mamish Bia? Mara says can't be. Why? Because the other pasuk says, "V'chol ataf benoshim asher liyadu mishkav zachar." Any woman who did not know a man, have yom really bal. That has to be really bal because of the medaber. Has to be referring to really bal, because if that also means mamish, then there'd be a stirim pesukim like we mentioned above. So therefore, the word yadiyah here in the context of milchavis midyan must be talking about really bal, not be a mamish. So this supports the understanding of Rav Huna.
The stira is because, in one way, it would seem that the taf. No matter whether they had Bia or not, you would keep them alive, right? That's
correct. And the other one says if they had Bia, you would not keep them alive.
Right.
So the only way out of this pasuk is to say Yodas doesn't mean Mamish Bia, it means Ruyali Bia. Right. The Gemara wants to know now that Minayada, how do they know? This is your question. How do they know who had Bia, who didn't have Bia? What was the Raya? Or, sorry, Minayah did really boil. How do you know if they're able to?
Right.
Right, because we're not talking about be a mamish anymore. We're talking about whether they're really boil. I think. Right. So the Gemara says.
Number three.
So Amar Ravuna. Ravuna says, Bar Bizna, Amar Ravuna, Bar Bizna, Amar Bishimon Chasida, Hevirum Lifneat Sitz. He had passed him in front of the tzitz. Now we're getting deep. Kol shepaneh morikos. Anyone's face who turned green is a nes hayas, says Rashi, turned green. B'yadu shehu roili boil. That was the indicator that they were roili boil. Kol shein paneh morikos. B'yadu shein roili boil. That was a key. The Rashi brings out the Torah. He passes through and they face turned green and they killed him. Otherwise, they didn't.
Good answer.
This is another answer. Amar Rav Nachman. Simen laveira hadrakon. He says, the simen for an avera is hadrakon. Hadrakon is some type of disease. A person's face turns green. A person's face turns green, that's a simen that a person did something wrong. Just like the this case above, that when the girl's face turned green, that told us that they were fit to having bia. Avera is nus in particular. Uh-huh. Yeah. Usually the word avera means nus. Like Gemara Yuma talks about... I think Gemara talks about getting rid of the... we don't have time for this now. Okay. I'll say afterwards. So, Kiyoti Budavar, similar to this, Ata Omer, V'yimatsu B'yoshve Yavesh Gilad, Arba Meos Nara Basula, Asher Lo Yadu, Ish L'Mishkam Zachar. So, and they found 400 women who did not know a man. So, how did they know? What was the proof? How do you know they were never with a man, or how do you know they weren't fit to be with a man? So, I think this case means that they actually were not with,
right,
there was actually no Bia.
This is Pilegesh Giva, because they promised that, because they didn't have who to marry.
Uh-huh. So here they want to know, how do you know who had Bia? This one's, how do you know there was Bia Mamash or not Bia Mamash in this case? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chana Hoshivam al pi chavis shal yayin. They place the women on a barrel of wine. Be'ula reicha nodef. If she was a be'ula, the smell of the wine would go through her mouth, go through her entire body. That means there's no basulum there. But ein reicha nodef, if the wine would smell would not come from the mouth, it tells us that she was still a basula. That's how they tested it out.
It's interesting because this is the you know, they almost killed the whole Shevet Binyamin, and they made a nether that nobody would marry the Shevet Binyamin, so they were concerned that they would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So they did two things. So one is that they when they were the day that they go out to the vineyard, the woman was that's Simchas V'Shoshoyev, I think it is,
the Tubav.
The Tubav, they kidnapped the woman, so that the parents should not be over the thing. And the other thing they did is that they also said that all Bnei Israel had to go and fight against Binyamin because of Pigelech Giva.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one town that didn't go. So they killed the whole town. This is the case. They killed the whole town, the men and everybody. They only left alive those 400 women that didn't know. And they took those women and they get into the Shevet Binyamin.
Uh-huh. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good background.
It's a crazy story.
Okay, let's try to get to the bottom here now. So then Gemara says, "V'navrinu l'fnei tzitz." Why have to place them on top of the barrel of wine? Why not have the tzitz? In those times, there was a tzitz still. Have them walk in front of the tzitz and see if their face turns green. Samar Rav Kana, v'rei d'rav not nasan l'ratzon lahem k'siv. L'ratzon lol pronios. You could pasuk says l'ratzon in describing the tzitz. You can only use the tzitz for l'ratzon to do something positive, but not to do something negative. So Gemara says, "Ihachi b'minyanami." The tzitz by minyan was telling us whether we should kill the girl or not. That was also pronios. That was also bad. Amar Vashi lahem k'siv lahem l'ratzon v'lo pronios. For us, for Klai Yisrael, for the case of that gets brought up, that was for us only for l'ratzon, not pronios. When it comes to the gavi over the chachavim, afil pronios, we're even allowed to use the tzitz for bad things for them, because that's a bad thing for them is good for us. L'ratzon for us. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, so therefore they couldn't use the tzitz by minyan, and they had to use this other method of the chavis shel yayin. Beautiful. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Ve'idi, I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Halach Rabbi Shimon Yochai. We passing like him, that a Gior is under the age of 3, it's mutter to marry a Kohen. I'm Rav Zera, Rabbi Yaakov Ve'idi, prepare Shemilacha or Bechol Shemilacha. Did you hear this stated explicitly, that the Halach is like Rabbi Shimon Yochai, or is it implied from something you may have heard from another story, that you inferred, oh, the Halach must be this way? Was it explicit or not? My Kala, what would be the implicit case, not the explicit, what would be the implicit halacha that may imply that we paskin like that? Damar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Yirachas Ha'isab Eretz Yisrael. There's one city in Eretz Yisrael, Shekar Lav Eirer. They had a whole Rashi Lipsol Mishpachas Eir. They wanted to disqualify one family in that city. And Vishagar Rabbi Esrabi Romnus Ubadka. Rabbi sent this Baki in Yichas, I guess. The name was Rabbi Romnus. He went to check out the situation. Umatzeba Bas Gioris Pchusmu Vashloshanim V'yomechad. He found that one of the members of the family was a Gioris under the age of 3. V'yachshir le'Rebbe likuna, and Rebbe permitted such a woman to marry the Kohen. So this was the case. So that's the it never said the halachas like Rabbi Shimon B'Yochai. But we see from the psak here, he clearly holds, like Rabbi Shimon B'Yochai, that a gyoros under the age of 3 is motor to a kohen. So Amalei, no, perish shmili. I heard it explicitly. I didn't infer it from that story. I heard it explicitly from Rabbi, that he paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Vi mechala, mai. So why are you so against the implied story? There's a very good story that Rabbi paskin, that particular city and that family and that gyoros under the age of 3 was kosher to marry kohen. Why was that not a good proof? Usually we say, when it's michlala, say, well, how do you know this? We say, David, how do you know the halacha? Okay, once heard Rebbe say the following, and I inferred, maybe you misunderstood the case. So what would be the misunderstanding of that case of that family who had a gyoros? It seems pretty clear that the halacha is a gyoros, pachos mi b'shlosh shoshanim, is kasher lakuna. So Gemara says, my michlala, what would be the inference that may have been incorrect? I michlala mai, dilma shani hasan, maybe over there is different by that city and that family, ho v'ansiv, ansiv, maybe there, because since they got married, we let it stay. But maybe mikra din, we don't allow you to marry kohen, cannot marry a gyoros pachos mishlosha. But there was a case of bidyavet, so we let them stay married. We wanted to know lichatchila, how do you know a kohen can marry a gyoros pachos mishlosha shanim? The Rav Rabbi Yochanan hold the Amri Tavayu, bogeres umukas eight lo yisa. A kohen gadol may not marry those two women. But if they get married, it stays married. So maybe here also, but the case of gyoros, if they got married, we let them stay married, but not lichatchila. Mar says no. That's not a good raya. Hachyasha over there, Bishlama Hasam Sofalios Bogeres Tachtova, Sofalios Buel Tachtova, Hacha Sofal Lios Zona Tachtov. So the reason why I can't marry Gioris is because she we consider a Zona. We assume she was a Beula and she's a Zona. So it's not a good comparison. I understand by the case of a Koi marrying a Bogeris and a Koi marrying a Mukazates, even though they're not allowed to, if they do, we let them stay married. Because in the end of the day, right, they're always going to turn into that.
Right.
But in the case of a gyoros, your wife is not going to turn into a zona. So what's the heter to say that, oh, b'dieved, you could say marriage to the gyoros?
Why did you use the word zona?
Why is it where you use the word zona?
Yeah.
Different times. That's not the same zona. But you're talking about less than 3 gyoros.
We view gyoros as a zona all the time.
Right. Even under 3.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Let's get the last few lines in here.
Yeah.
So Rav Safra Masni la Mechlala, he taught it as a Mechlala. They learned the halacha from an implication. The Kashley had the question, well, wait, how can you learn that? Maybe that case is B'dieved, we want to know the Chachila is permitted. He answered, Hachi ha-hukana, dant of Gyoros p'chus mi b'ashlo shishan v'yom echad. He answered up saying that, what?
No, that's a different thing.
Umeshani la.
Umeshani
le-hachi. Ha-ha, okay, fine. The Gemara said, ha-hukana, dance of Gyoros Pchus Mibashlo Shishan Vyomecha. There's one to story.
What
he had the same thing. He had the same discussion. He had the inference from the story, had the question, you can't learn from the story, and he gave the answer that there's a difference between the Zona,
okay,
like we just said. Just
So the only way you can do it is learning the Pharisee.
Exactly. Right. So then the Gemara says, Ahu, Kana, there's one to Kohen, the Ince of Gyoros. Married a Gyoros Pchus Mibashlo Shishan Vyomecha. Armelie Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my high. How are you able to marry Gyoros? You're Kohen? Amar Lei, Damar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yishu Ben Levi, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. We pass him that you're allowed to marry a Gioris, Pachos Mibashlo Shoshanim. Amar Lei, so he says back to the Kohen, Zil Apik, go divorce her. Vilo, if you don't divorce her, Mapik and Loch, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Munach. So then, I'm going to place you in Nidui.
They're all very nice people.
Wow. That's a toughie.
Yeah.
Right?